Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
This is our expression. We agree with that man, and his attitude is despair, is compromising. He said it perfectly well. This is what I believe in my heart. Praise the Lord for it. Let's take our hymnal once again and turn to the hymn and find the right hymnal. Now, move forward. Okay, well, come again.
621.
See if I can find that number. 621. Who is on the Lord's side? This is the verse. Who is on the Lord's side? Come from the Exodus 32:26.
Question
that, all right.
Paul's question was, how does one improve a conference from 1 year to the next? Well, Paul, during the executive committee meeting, Paul, we could determine that we different pastors and could say, we'd like to have a meeting at our church next year. We're booked into 2021, I think, isn't that?
22.
Next year is Texas, the following year is Georgia. The year after that, it's
North
Carolina. Franklin, Massachusetts. The year after that, it's back to Europe. So that's how we do it, Paul.
Thank you. Good. Another question. Yes, sir. Well, he's just scratching my head. Yes, you have. Other questions? Yes, sir. Oh, yes. Pat. Hanahan. Okay.
Pastor,
right? Oh.
Where does he go?
Oh, it's kind of the microphone so everybody can hear. Okay. Yes. No, the microphone is this one. Then we move that over in the center, but you can hear it.
So, Pastor Rainey, my question is, which of the Bob Jones had the obsession with all the Catholic art? And you know, you have the huge Catholic art museum there. I used to live there, so I'm very familiar with it. Do you know which of the Bob Jones had that obsession with it?
It would be in the later years of Bob Jones the first, or during Bob Jones the second, when most of it was the second self.
Okay, I thought that was a little unusual, but thank you very much.
All right, thank you. That question. Paul, another question. Good, Paul.
Yes. Yes, thank you so much. Why are the, especially our university, Bible colleges and universities nowadays, why are they strength with James?
Why are they strength the King James? I think I know, have a man that knows how to answer that. I'll look right at it. What do you think? I'll tell you this man ahead of you. Dr. H.T. Spence. He's got a lot of statements on BZ. You want to answer that for us?
Oh, just a particular question.
The question was, why do these schools, like Bob Mayhill, go astray?
I'm just kidding,
of course. Take that microphone right there and then go all over the world.
This question came to us earlier today, and I believe it commences back with the human heart believing the Lord, and also the vision that was initiated with the founder of any ministry. Once the next generation begins to take over, they begin to redefine and refocus the vision. In regards to the dear lady's statement concerning the art, we've got to remember that Bob Jones Jr. never believed that he was called of God to be a preacher, but he was somewhat forced into the leadership at one time. He was the youngest president in America. We've got to remember he was rated number 3 in the world as a Shakespearean actor. And so he was the one that brought in all of this Christian art, a connoisseur of Christian art, which would include the Catholic. But I believe their desire was now to become more and more liberal arts. And I believe that any school that begins to trend in liberal arts, even under the guise of being a Christian, it will pull them away from the initial burden. Although dear Dr. Bob Jones Sr. was not the scholar per se, I believe he had a most peculiar heart as an evangelist, and that's what stabilized the ministry during his tenure as president. Once Bob Jones Jr. came in, and then the third, and then under Stevens, and down today, it has gone away for all flesh. And the devil truly has taken advantage of the falling away, and the coffers have been full to feed. Our dear brother Rainey gave an accurate appraisal of the situation of the bold attacks I remember after my father passed away, they'd given several notable awards from Bob Jones University. But then we began to deal with the music of Bob Jones, especially in contemporary music lectures we gave in the country of Singapore. We got back to them. And I received a strong letter of castigation from the president at that time. And I sent back 5 pages to prove my point. And then when the Chanticleers, a sodomite musical group, came to Bob Jones University. Chanticleers.
Wow.
I knew that I could not approach the president. And so, trained at that time, and I felt like that, so I sent him the information. Just get it off the internet. And he made the observation, he would have never known this if it hadn't been for the internet. But I had to make the response, the end time apostasy. God knew it was going to come in such proliferation that even the internet may become a benefit to gain the material of the apostates that we would not normally know. But it also has been a curse to our world. But it has helped us to keep the thumb on the pulse of our time. But they've had another group to come since the Chanticleers. This is the way the process has been. And now we're seeing this beloved university of the past in the wholesale throes of this defection from the faith.
Amen.
That we call the Word of God defective from it.
That's Spence, if you say right there, please. He's one of our new advisory council members for the Newburgh Society. I'd like you to tell them about your school, Foundations Bible College, if you would, please. And what your stand is along these various lines. Are you apostate?
No.
If I was, I wouldn't be here today. Our school would have never come into existence if it had not been for the falling away of those schools. It would not have been needed.
Yes.
But since institutions have been falling away in a prolific proportion, I believe God has been moving upon remnant groups scattered across the planet to maintain, preserve, for God's true remnant, which seems to be in a great decline, but to be a bastion, a hope, a citadel for the cause of Christ and His Word. So in 1974, my father began Foundations Bible College. We were with him from its inception. And we go from a 2-year associate of art degree all the way up to a 10-year doctoral program in Christian education, in music, but the backbone is theology. If the student comes to our school, they get automatically a double major, and part of that major is Bible. I teach the Bible 8 hours a week. All students have to take it. I take it verse by verse so that in 4 years they will have covered it. We're very strong in the original languages. We're very strong in theology. We believe that the student for our time needs a perspective of the world in philosophy, in history, in music. In the Word of God and the constant mutation of theology. So our school is mainly from an invitation. We never want to get over 50 students. We usually average 35 to 40 every year. And they're from all over the world, from Europe, from the Orient, from the States, from Mexico. And we've endeavored to send them back. In the past 6 years, we've made a great investment in Ghana, Africa. with six indigenous pastors there. We've started to four schools for children. And I go once a year, sometimes twice a year, for a concentrated 10 hours a day of seminary training for these men. And we're hoping within the next 2 years to have a full-time 10-month seminary training for them. One of the problems in America now is that we were the ones that sent the missionaries around the world. There's been no country like this. But now we are becoming the exporters for the apostasy. And we are bringing the downfall of global Christianity.
Amen.
Yes.
And so we need to, whatever we can do, at least to help the remnant. And we strongly believe in the commentary rendered for John the Baptist. He was to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And this is what we want to do, is prepare a people for the imminent coming of Christ. So our school is not large, but we believe it's a good quality school. We have 28 of the faculty and staff. We have a very personal relationship with all of our students outside of the classes. I spend much time during the week in private prayer and meeting with all of our students. Plus, we have a Foundations Christian Academy that we only accept children from families who attend our seminary. We believe the trilogy has got to solidify a child or he'll become schizophrenic in his thinking. And that is a godly home, a godly school, and a pulpit that is feeding those two. And if the child's environment can be in that, then it will alleviate a lot of problems. And there will be one central thinking, focused attention concerning the Word of God. And we have happy children. Not in a concentration camp, nor do we think of ourselves to be some type of Gestapo. But over the years, this has been the burden. My father passed away in the year 2000 with Lou Gehrig's disease. My mother was a professional opera singer before she came to know the Lord, and started our fine arts department, and the protege was here, Dr. Robert Wilson. And I've taken on as the heartbeat for our ministry is to simply forward the faith. There's no sense in changing it now,
yes,
but to maintain what has been given to us by the Lord through His Word.
Thank you, Dr. Spence. I asked and our executive committee meeting for the end of consent to post our Dean of Organized Society someday at this school. So we'll take it up with the board and he will decide, and maybe someday. Dr. Director has answered that question about why the schools, the fall question, why the schools go away, something like that. Also,
my answer is totally different, but not in contradiction. First word, Brother Brady. I wish you'd just tell us what you think. I'm beating around the bush. Get on it.
I never heard about his feelings.
I love you, Brother.
Yes.
All right. This is something I've seen through the years, and it may sound strange to you, but a lot of folks do not appreciate what we do here at the Deep Earth God Society.
Yes.
And make several statements. Number one, if you don't know Greek, you cannot say this Bible is more accurate than your Bible. If you don't study the language, not everybody can study the language,
yes,
but if you don't study them, then you can't say, well, I use this one because it's more accurate than the King James Bible, because you don't know that.
That's right.
You really don't know that. if you don't know the textual issues, or new textual, the whole deal we talk about all the time. If you don't, you cannot say the better reading or the superior reading is, What you end up doing is parroting whoever you like listening to, who is saying what you want to hear. And that's where Bible Christianity is today, is people are seeking out teachers having itching ears. They're not going to endure sound doctrine. They're not going to do their homework. The key word to this whole thing is laziness. Laziness among preachers and laziness against around students. I go to Bible college, 3 hours of Greek. You can't even learn to spell your name in Greek in 3 hours. And so they're going out into the field. Now, the third thing, if they're using the wrong text in class, the whole time a student's learning Greek or Hebrew, the teacher's correcting their Bible. Now, the first generation that does that will put a little mark in their Bible and say, well, this could be better translated. The second generation will say, why should I mark a Bible off? Why not just get a more accurate Bible? And, of course, there's one in the bookstore because you bought one for comparison to start with. And the next thing you know, the students are just drifting away. And it's not an intentional drift, but it's a thing. When years ago, before I came to Massachusetts, I had a family, they had a friend who was willing to give their three sons a free ride through BJU. They said, preacher, we need to know what they believe down there. So I pretended to be a liberal. I can be a hypocrite. And I wrote and said, I know you all say that you use the King James Bible, but in your theology classes, are the professors allowed academic liberty? That's another key word. Are they allowed academic liberty to modify and make more accurate? Yes, oh yes. How about in your Bible classes, when they're teaching through the Bible, are they allowed? Oh yeah, they have academic liberty. And I went back, Mike, I said, they're lying. They don't use the King James Bible if you're correcting it all the time. It's that simple. By the way, how long have you been in the ministry?
Well, since
longer than I've been born.
Well, 1950s.
Yeah, that's what I was right. How many times have you stood in the pulpit and corrected the King James Bible?
Never.
Brother Rainey, how many times have you stood in the pulpit and corrected the King James Bible?
My wife wouldn't let me do that.
Brother Spencer, how many times have you?
No.
40 years I've been pastor, not one time have I ever stood in the pulpit and corrected the King James Bible. You say, why? Because you just ignored the problem? No, I haven't found any yet. And if you build preachers right that are honest with their people, we can win the issue. But I am finding that this younger generation of preachers, whatever up on the wall sermon they bought from whatever service out there, and that's all the scripture they read for a week. But anyhow.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Where is this database in your presentation?
The database is maintained by the German Bible Society. I wrote a whole paper with footnotes and documentation. I didn't get done with what I had even close here. But it's under the German Bible Society, and it is something. The database is called the Editio. It's in Latin. The major critical edition. The Editio Critico Maior, M-A-I-O-R. And it's available. Now, for the Catholic epistles from James to Jude, it only costs $401. So again, you can buy it secondhand for about $10. But for all practical purposes, all they're doing is trying to make it so complex that, for instance, the variants in the book of James, there are twice as many variants as there are words. Now, that's a good deal if you pull it off. James, title of the book, James. The Epistle of James, Epistle of James. Catholic Epistle of James. James Catholic Epistle of. Epistle Catholic James. And they list about 25 different variations of James. And so all of these variations. So they tell some student in a Bible college, well, there's 152,000 variants in the book of James. When anybody that has half a brain knows the name of the book is James.
Amen. Thank you, Paul, for those questions. Other questions? Other questions? Yes, sir.
Was Bob Jones Senior a Methodist?
If it comes to the microphone, oh. Here, I'll talk. We try to broadcast our questions as well as the answers out into the internet and all over the world, if possible. Whatever the question might be. Thank you. I know it's a little bit of a walk, but they use that mic.
Was Bob Jones Sr. a Methodist? And I remember seeing him on TV once saying exactly what was said here, that he would rather have his school blown up. Remember that. Was he a Methodist?
Okay. Dr. Spence, you want to answer that? You don't mind?
Originally, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. was a strong Methodist, and I believe, and I'm not talking about the United Methodists, I'm talking about the true Methodists of the past, which I think is what gave him his heart from the revivalist movement period. But when you start getting into Bob Jones III, Jim here, that's when they started becoming more Baptist, and that's what they would be viewed today with a large percentage of Southern Baptists. But then to answer your question, that's what it was at the beginning.
Also, do you think that Arnold Clemens Gabelline was similar to Bob Jones, but probably older? That about 100 years ago, I've been reading up on him, he was fighting these liberals coming in the Methodist Church, changing everything, and people like J. Gresham Machum, that he considered it a totally different religion, not Christianity at all, which I see now in these people coming in the Methodist Church. When I'm 58, when I went through the Methodist Church, we had the King James Bible. And then when they merged in 1968, it might have been a year or so later, then they brought in that Revised Standard Version,
right.
And we were told, oh, this is easier to understand. And it, you know, but this has been going on a long time, but it's all the churches. I see it in a lot of Baptist churches. Right. So I just wanted to know what you thought of that. And thank you.
Was it the latter part of Gabelline? I think he was on his question.
It seems like, you know, and then his son, I heard, also became a minister and stayed there fighting. But it sounds like, you know, about 100 years ago, I mean, they were fighting this fight then in the
The Methodists were strong until about 1890, and you still have remnants.
Right.
You've got to keep that in mind, that were more of a Puritan involved. But Bob Jones Sr. was one of them. And we've got to remember, between 1890 and 1900, there were over 40 denominations that came out of the Methodist movement because of the falling away of the Methodist movement. And then by the time we get to the United Methodists in 68, we've got to remember that Oral Roberts, who gave birth to the Neo-Pentecostal movement, joined the United Methodist Church, and they pumped in well over $2 million to keep Oral Roberts University alive and proverbially spiritually kicking, but it proven that they were taking every Tom, Dick, and Harry that was coming down the pipeline.
Well, thank you.
Thank you
very much.
I just want to ask Dr. Spence about Charles Brokenshire and Bob Jones. He was a B.B. Warfield protege. Was Dr. Jones hoodwinked by him, or?
I think when it comes to individuals like that, and maybe if I could take a step back in history with Dwight Lyman Moody, who was endeavoring for the cause of the promotion of evangelism. He compromised, at least in fellowship with a lot of individuals such as Henry Drummond, strong believer in evolution. But I think that Moody's heart was for the better, that a person can have a right motive and still be sincerely wrong. And there'll be a lot of people in hell that were believing they were right and right motives. But I think when it comes to dear Dr. Bob Jones Sr., that the situation with Broken Shire, I believe it was a time in history where the lines of demarcation were somewhat blurred, and I believe sometimes God's dear men, out of a heart for God, maybe overlooked some things, but it did produce a problem. And I think this is what's happened to the second generation of fundamentalism. They saw the strong stand of the first generation, but they also saw the weaknesses and failures, and they took advantage of that. And I think that's what the succeeding leadership of Bob Jones University did. They saw, with all due respect to dear Dr. Bob Jones Sr., I think there were just some things out of his heart wanting to do the best to help, that there were inroads of things that were coming in with the next generation of those things. And if they could have stopped it. But you got to realize now, nearly 1,000 faculty members who are encouraged to go to all kinds of universities to get their degrees. We only have faculty members at our school that are trained by us. Yeah. So there is a unanimity of vision in part. But this is viewed as some academic excellence. And if you've got 1,000 people going to 500 schools and some of them Catholic universities wanting the prestige of these degrees, and they come in on your faculty, and if they pull a Roman Catholic or someone else to your school, but you are destroying the purpose of your school. The vision's gone. This is what happened in Northfield, Massachusetts, at the school. He started pulling in.
That was coming up, it wasn't in there.
So it's a very crucial thing, a strong ministry, especially a founder. And he's got to keep strong and consistent in every aspect, because if he weakens in any compartment of human history, of his own life, you're going to see the next generation that has seen it, and they will capitalize on that as if the door has already been opened for the next generation. And sad to say, it then begins to bring about the gradual death of the
Thank you very much. You have another question? Oh, yeah, fine. Stay right there, Dr. Spence. My wife has a question for you. Now, he's going to be our speaker tonight. So we're going to hear more from him. This is the beginning. This is the beginning. All right, fine.
Short question.
Is it short and sweet? Is it short and sweet?
All right, it's right there.
Hey, here.
I know if you have any courage information about Moody Baptist, what I remember being used for that a long time, where does it stand? Just what is the
She's a graduate, I mean, Moody. She's a graduate of Moody, yeah?
I was keeping that a secret.
Moody Bible Institute, we've got to remember the two main schools that they started on in Northfield, mainly for children, literally from around the world. They had two campuses covering about 1,500 acres, which, by the way, is defunct now and has been bought out originally by the Greens of Hobby Lobby, but they've given it away because we would not be able to maintain the young people. But the other was Moody Bible Institute. Moody Bible Institute was started for one purpose, and that was to train young people for evangelism.
Yes.
I don't believe that you can build a ministry exclusively off of evangelism. There's got to be the stabilizing force of the Christian life. And the last time I visited Moody Bible Institute, about 15 years ago, I spent 2 days in their archives. But as soon as I came into the proximity of their radio station, the music was deplorable. So that was totally gone. Basically, students can come free of charge. There's enough money coming in to provide. And the presidency seesaws back and forth. Sometimes there's a professing conservative versus others that are liberal, and they take pride in the conservative. But this is what you have in neo-evangelicalism. You have a broad spectrum from John MacArthur and Piper to rank neo-evangelicalism. And the Bible Institute, I believe, is maintained simply as well as Bob Jones University. It's today based on its reputation of the past and not the reality of the present. And sad to state, this is the way the Bible Institute was built. It's a rank school, and it has left its moors. They are truly of a neo-Christianity, not a true Christianity.
Thank you, Dr. Spencer. Appreciate that. 9 minutes before supper. Any other questions before we go? Yes. Paul, that's it. Question number three. Go ahead, Paul.
Thank you, Walt. I'm going to have to put questions here.
That's all right.
Are there any Bible colleges and universities where students not only believe in complete conversion, but are in support of preaching today?
Well, the believers have fought and preached today. Ever have spent to handle that one? I don't know of any except yours, but go ahead. You may know some.
Well, one thing I told the brethren this morning on a similar question, and I want to make it clear. I have not gone to every Christian school in the world. So my knowledge is limited. I do a lot of world traveling. I do a lot of schools. But I don't know of one. I'm sure there's one out there. I don't know of one that is maintaining a stand. There's several on the King James Version. When it comes to their music, when it comes to their dress standards, when it comes to a mixture, a little bit of mixture of the neo-Christianity into their Christianity, I just don't know of one out there. And the sad thing is that most churches do not want a minister today that is strong, right? And his life and the entirety of his ministry is going to be based upon the Word of God, and specifically what we believe that God has preserved. With all due respect to scholarship, such as the beloved Nepharim and John William Burgum, we've got to remember that the greatest witness of the beloved King James Bible is the preservation by God Himself.
Amen.
And
Providence. Amen.
Even our scholarship has got to bow out, although it's It is used, but God has been his own witness at the preservation of this for the centuries. And we believe they've been attacking, you know, there were beloved English translations prior with Cliff Tyndall, Coverdale, Matthew, Michael, the list continues. But I've always viewed them like John the Baptist as a forerunner that God raised up to pave the way, to make ready the path for the coming of the Lord. And I believe God used honorably these precursors of history that forged the way for the beloved, resolved the finality of the beloved King James Bible. And providence has proven for the last 300 years, this is God's appointed, preserved word for the English speaking.
Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Spence.
Wait.
Yes.
Just a small piece of trivia.
Go ahead.
Was
put your microphone right there.
I'm getting there.
Okay.
It was on, I believe it was on the Fox website, whether that matters or not, just 3 days ago, that two-thirds of the families in America that have a Bible in their home, it's the King James Bible. It is still the number one bestseller in the history of all printed books. And even if they don't count all the little churches that print, they only count the big houses. But if you counted all the King James Bible being printed, it is still the most purchased book. It is number one in the world to this very day, in agreement with Dr. Spence.
Amen. Thank you very much. 5 more minutes. Any other questions? Yes, sir. We didn't get to my 20.
Amen.
We've got 3 more question and answer sessions, so we may get there, we may not.
I wanted to mention to those out in internet land that don't know about the Defined King James Bible, this is an excellent Bible for new Christians, for teenagers, for children, because there's definitions of all the hard words at the bottom of the page. When I grew up, I was too lazy to go look them up. But now they have it right at the bottom of each page. And it's really a big resource. So when somebody said the King James is too hard, say, well, maybe it used to be, but it's not anymore. I buy these by the case, and I get them out to our bus kids and use it at our church.
Where can they get those?
The Dean Bergen Society sells these.
And who else?
Look that up one minute.
Who else?
The Dean Bergen Society. I don't.
I'll say the Bible today.
Okay, Bible today.
Sorry, thank you.
Okay. And then one other book I wanted to mention. 2 months ago, I came across this new book. It's called "Is the World's Oldest Bible of Faith?" It's by David Daniels. He's a friend of ours on that West Coast, the wicked West Coast, California. But he's fighting for the King James out there. He's done intensive research the last 3 or 4 years, and he's discovered that the Sinaiticus, one of the main manuscripts that props up the new Bibles, is a fake, which means the new Bibles are based on a fake. Now, that's a tremendous weapon for our side. We need to start asking these pastors of these other churches, why are you using a Bible that's based on a fake? We just happen to have about 8 copies of that
book
here.
Mm-hmm.
It's $16. I want to get them out. He owns them, but I'm going to sponsor them. You pay the first 10, and I'll pay the rest of it. So if you buy it tonight, you get it for $10, and I'll pay the rest of it.
You know where they get the Time King James Bible anywhere?
Define King James Bible.
You ever get any of those?
Yeah, right here.
I'm on the hook there, you got it. Okay. Thank you very much. Well, we've got a minute and a half, but we're not going to get any more minutes. The questions are too long. They're very important. No, I was wondering the pastor.
There's salad, there's veggie platters, there's sandwich fixings, there's also a huge full sheet cake in there. There's fruit, so there's all kinds of goodies in there. For anyone who wants to stay here,
you're welcome to stay.
Everyone's invited.
Turkey Bacon, would you close the word of prayer and pray for this, the dinner, the comments, the ministry, as we fellowship around the table?
Let's pray. Our Father, you sure are a good God. We're thankful that you loved us and watched over us till we got saved. Now you've called us again together to fellowship around the truth of your word. Father, would you bless the meal we're about to receive? We thank you for the hands that have prepared it. We pray, Lord, you give us strength and allow us to enjoy the messages tonight as we try to explore further the issues that affect our day. Father, bless this meal, we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Remember, tonight we have to start our messages at, let's see, what time is it?
Seven o'clock.
So please be on time. Thank you.